This is the Bob Soucy Show on Patriots.com Radio.
Parade in the backfield off Brady's left hip. Amendola started in motion. Brady takes the snap, rolls right, throws to the end zone, catches Brady, touchdown, Danny Amendola!
The Bob Soucy Show is your source for in-depth Patriots coverage and all things NFL. Join Bob for exclusive interviews, statistical breakdowns, and the best coverage of your New England Patriots.
Gostkowski trying to win it in overtime. The snap, the spot, the kick is airborne to the upright, and the kick is a game winner!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Left foot forward for the quarterback, hands extend, takes the snap, retreats in the pocket, under a rush, throws across the middle, touchdown, Rob Gronkowski!
Now, here's your host, the radio voice of your New England Patriots, Bob Soucy.
And hello again, everyone. We welcome you to the Bob Soucy Show during week 10 of the NFL's regular season. Of course, a bye week for the New England Patriots, who sit atop the AFC by virtue of their win over the Denver Broncos, with the Pats now at 7-2, coming off their fifth consecutive victory. And it was a win in resounding fashion in the inclement weather at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough on Sunday afternoon. 43-21, the Patriots roll over the Broncos. Peyton Manning and company coming in, of course, a team putting up historical numbers over the last year and a half, and the Patriots' defense forcing a couple of turnovers with interceptions by Rob Ninkovich and Braden Browner, and the Patriots' offense, again, doing what it's done so well the last 5 weeks since being beaten by Kansas City to fall to 2-2. They protected the quarterback, Tom Brady. He made plays with both his legs and primarily his arm, of course, and he found a wide array of receivers for big plays, including Rob Gronkowski once more, an unstoppable force, it seems, now that he's healthy for the Patriots. Julian Edelman back on track as Brady's go-to guy from the slot. Brandon LaFell struggled at the outset with a couple of drops, including a would-be touchdown, but he came on strong and eventually did score a touchdown for the Patriots. There was James Devlin involved in a key reception for a first down for the Pats early on. The special teams, of course, came up big, and the defense was terrific all afternoon, really as best described, I think, by the Boston Globe's Chris Gasper. Empty calories for Peyton Manning and the Broncos, with over 400 yards passing and two touchdowns in Sunday's game, again with the two picks after throwing only three interceptions through the first seven games of the year, through the first eight games of the year for the Broncos. It was a very, very impressive performance by the Pats. Snow, rain early in the day, the field plowed several hours before kickoff. By game time, though, the precipitation had ceased. Nonetheless, it was a very favorable afternoon, as it turned out, for the Patriots in a lot of different ways, much like last November when Steven Gostkowski hit that game-winning field goal in a wind-affected overtime victory over the Broncos for a 34-31 win. This past Sunday, of course, the elements favoring the Patriots, as noted. High winds, cold temperature, Tom Brady flourishing once more, and Peyton Manning struggling yet again in the less than ideal physical conditions here in Foxborough. So Brady and company now 11-5 versus teams quarterbacked by Peyton Manning as a starter through their history, and there is a very strong likelihood, as we all anticipate, that they will meet again this postseason, just as they did a year ago. Now for the Patriots, though, of course, the mission imperative is to have that game, should they meet again, in Foxborough rather than in Denver, as was the case last January. And the Pats do have a rigorous road ahead. They'll be off this Sunday, of course, in their bye week, and thereafter it's Indianapolis, Detroit at home, but then with Green Bay and San Diego on the horizon, that means three road games against quality opponents, especially quarterbacked by outstanding players. When you talk about Andrew Luck, Aaron Rodgers, and, of course, Philip Rivers. And the one home game in that stretch is against the Detroit Lions, who should get Calvin Johnson back certainly by then and possibly by this weekend for a game against the Miami Dolphins and Matthew Stafford. But before we look ahead, we're going to look back on last Sunday's victory a little bit more in detail with some bullet points and maybe some of the not-so-obvious thoughts with regards to the Patriots' victory over the Broncos that has propelled them again not only to the top of the AFC East but to the top of the American Football Conference. Before we do, though, as we come to you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, want to tell you about how today's program could unfold. Not necessarily how it should unfold, because Kevin Collins, our producer, we're standing by hoping for a phone call from Patriots offensive lineman, left tackle Nate Solder. It's the last day for the Pats players here at Gillette before they can go their separate ways for several days and enjoy their off time. They had a workout today, a practice here in Foxborough. They've been in meetings. Nate Solder possibly will be joining us. We're hoping we can get him on the phone when his meeting adjourns for the offensive lineman. And he's a guy who, of course, along with the rest of that unit, have rounded into form these last 5 weeks. They've been such a key to the Patriots' offensive success, averaging better than 40 points per game during the five-game winning streak. And beyond Nate Solder, we're hoping as well to hear from my broadcast partner on the Patriots radio network, Scott Zolak, co-host of the Gresham Zoe program from 10 to 2 during weekdays on our Boston flagship station on the Pats radio network, 98.5 The Sports Hub. And in fact, I just got word that Nate could be calling in within a few minutes. So Nate Solder indeed is planning to join us by phone in just a few minutes, if not in person, here we're in the studio. And we certainly look forward to talking to him, and hopefully Scott Zolak. Jackie Britton will be with us as well. We've also got some interesting sound today from Tom Brady during his weekly press conference. Tom very open today, in particular on the subjects of leadership and being a good teammate. Said he's basically still the same person as the kid who grew up in Northern California. Back then he was a fan of the San Francisco 49ers, of course. Now he is the longtime quarterback of the New England Patriots, trying to lead this team to a fourth Super Bowl title in his career. And he'll talk on a couple of different topics, including Rob Gronkowski, who again was at his unstoppable best this past Sunday against the Denver Broncos. In addition, as mentioned, Jackie Britton will be joining us, and perhaps we'll have some time for some Darrelle Revis sound from the locker room. Just left the Patriots locker room down the hall here at Gillette and stood in a media scrum surrounding Darrelle Revis. We've talked a bit about a variety of subjects, including the bye week, what this means for the Pats players in evaluation of the first nine games of the season, what lies ahead for the team. And he is a guy that has also some interesting thoughts, I think, about the emotion of a guy like Brandon Browner and some of the other players on defense, and how that has infused the Patriots offensively and defensively with a bit of energy of late. And certainly, again, that was the case against the Denver Broncos. So that's what's on deck here. We hope you'll join us as well. Our ace ticket hotlines, 855-PATS-500, 1-855-PATS-500. As well, you can call 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. And as well, you can email us, as always, at webradio@patriots.com. Now, I mentioned the thoughts about the Denver Broncos. Now, a little time to digest the game that was this past Sunday, of course, a CBS broadcast, a televised to virtually the entire nation. Oakland, Seattle was the other CBS game, and that was shown to those markets. But across the country, most anticipated game certainly of the regular season, I think, and unquestionably of Week 9 in the NFL, and the Patriots beating the Broncos very soundly with that very impressive performance in every facet. And you look at the defense, and I noted Browner and the secondary's play against Peyton Manning and the receivers, in particular, the job they did, I think, on Julius Thomas, Wes Welker, who left the game because of an injury after his drop led to a deflected interception by Brandon Browner. But although Emmanuel Sanders had a very productive game, and then Demaryius Thomas, in the end, had a good stat line for the Denver Broncos. Nonetheless, the Patriots' secondary was terrific, especially on third down. The Broncos came in eclipsing 47%. On a third down conversion rate, and Denver struggled against the Patriots on third down, pressed into a lot of third and longs, Kevin, during the course of the game Sunday.
And they were great on fourth down as well.
They were. They were 3-for-11 were the Broncos on third down, and they were 0-for-4 on fourth down.
Those fourth down stops, those four of them were key, really, to keep points off the board, especially in the fourth quarter late in the game.
Yeah, and one of them, right on cue, was in the red zone. It marked the first time in 61 red zone drives that the Broncos did not score points. Denver came in getting touchdowns, not just field goals and touchdowns, but touchdowns alone on 80%+ of their red zone possessions before Sunday. So the Patriots did a marvelous job, again, from that regard, getting the Denver offense off the field on third and fourth down and giving Tom Brady and that offense an opportunity to expand the lead.
Yeah, they really did a great job, Bob, the Patriot defense, of, you know, letting Denver have, you know, I think Peyton threw for about 450 yards or some ridiculous number like that, but letting them have a lot of, like, meaningless chunk plays and keeping the play in front of them, not allowing any big scoring explosive plays, and really doing a really nice job of buckling down in the red zone and on third and fourth down, like you mentioned. They also forced an empty trip deep into their own territory with the field goal that dinged off the upright. So they did a great job of just in general keeping points off the board.
Yeah, Kevin, that's going to get me to several thoughts. I mentioned Bronner and Revis and the rest of the secondary. Dante Hightower was terrific as well for the Patriots. Dante, of course, has taken over that role for Gerard Mayo, calling the defensive signals with some help, of course, making the defensive calls to get everybody aligned. But he was fantastic in that role, looked very assertive, very confident, made plays as well. Jamie Collins, very effective for the Patriots. And there were a number of times when the Pats seemed to at least to cause some confusion at the line. Peyton checked off several times, especially in early series situations. And again, the defense played terrific. They came out and set the tone, did the Patriots' defense, and the offense, of course, responded in a big way. And a large reason for that, both literally and figuratively, is the left tackle the New England Patriots, of course, drafted in the first round out of the University of Colorado back in 2011, and now kind enough to take some time, some of his off time on this rare bye week, to join us, Nate Solder, by phone. Nate, congratulations on the five-game winning streak, and, of course, most specifically, most recently, the very impressive win on Sunday.
Hey, thanks a lot. It was awesome.
It was awesome, and the team playing so well over these last 5 weeks is noted, but when you look at the game on Sunday in particular, what stands out to you early in that game where you guys got a feeling that, as I mentioned, the defense had set the tone, but offensively, that you were going to continue the kind of momentum you had enjoyed over the previous month?
Yeah, I'm not a huge believer in momentum. I think that each week you kind of put together a new game plan, a new system and everything. So I think that we came into that game fully prepared, and I think that that's what we have to do this week is, do our best to be prepared and I mean for Indy as we go ahead here.
Well, before you think about the Indianapolis Colts, you do have some downtime, as noted. The bye week comes in week 10. How special is it to have this period now where you can kind of get refreshed mentally, but as well heal up a bit physically?
Yeah, well, we have to maximize it. We have to maximize it, and that means getting rest and taking care of our bodies and taking some of the pressure off our minds for a little bit here as we go ahead. And I think that we also have to prepare and be ready for a great opponent with Indy.
I know some guys have talked about getting away and spending time outside of Foxborough. Do you plan to get away, I mean, physically as well as mentally, just a bit from football? Do you enjoy the opportunity to have a little personal time outside of the building and the facilities here?
Absolutely. We're gonna get away, but not too far. We're just going to have a nice little break here, my wife and I, and just take a chance to, have some personal time, exactly.
And from the standpoint of looking ahead as well, as you mentioned, you do have to take care of your body, but also, of course, you got to stay sharp with the focus on what lies ahead, because as Bill Belichick told you guys in the locker room, 7 wins doesn't get you anything in the NFL. How has your experience in the last 3 years prepared you to handle this situation, the downtime now, but at the same time, keeping an eye at least on Indianapolis and the rest of the schedule?
Yeah, well, I have some experience, and that little experience has kind of taught me that, the most important part of the season is still yet to come. So we have to put our best foot forward, be ready for a long, long rest of the season.
With Nate Solder, of course, the Patriots left tackle, and the Pats winning over the Denver Broncos, I heard one of your teammates and one of your line mates the other day talking about the weather on Sunday, and though he's a native of California, Ryan Wendell said he was a little disappointed when the snow stopped. He definitely liked the elements in Foxborough. You're a Colorado guy. How much do you enjoy playing in the inclement weather? And do you feel, as Ryan articulated, that anything that can slow down the defensive line, those conditions are good for offensive linemen?
Well, yeah, and I think this time of year in New England and wherever we play, it's an exciting time of year to be playing in some elements and things like that. It is kind of a thrill.
You got to be tough, certainly, to play in the NFL, but to have the wherewithal, whatever the conditions are, whatever the situation is. Certainly, Bill Belichick has the track record. It's stressed in this organization. But how much of it is internal for you, and how much of it is simply the way things are handled and done as a New England Patriot from the start of training camp to this point of the season, developing and cultivating mental toughness individually and collectively?
Yeah, I definitely think that we do that. I think that that's part of the whole system. But I think the biggest thing with that is just taking every week one at a time and being prepared and not worrying about what the circumstances are going to be, because you can't control that. So we don't worry about that. We just do what we can, and we don't make any excuses with our performance. It's not, it's not relevant what the conditions are. We just play, and we have to play at a high level.
And you weren't making any excuses, and that should be said after week four in Kansas City, when the offensive line and the rest of the team as well, were being questioned after the loss to the Kansas City Chiefs with a 2-2 record. What's been the difference with your unit in particular, though, these last 5 weeks from your point of view?
I think at that point in time, I think that we were still under the same mindset that we were just going to do our job, continue to get better each week, and not worry about what the rest of the world was saying. And I think we've done that to this point. And that's kind of something that's been our stamp on, improving and going throughout the season without listening to all the naysayers or the people that are pumping us up, So we just continue to work, and we just continue to do what we need to do to get the job done.
You got a couple of veterans on the interior, and, of course, a veteran on the opposite side of the line at tackle, speaking of Connolly, Wendell, and Sebastian Vollmer, the right tackle. And in the middle is a rookie, Brian Stork. How do you describe the way he's fit in with this group?
Oh, he's done great. He's continued to kind of buy into that mentality I was talking about. He's got a lot of great characteristics, and it's really a pleasure to play with him.
At the same time, Nate, you guys have formed the starting unit now, as we've seen. Guys still rotate. Marcus Cannon, for example, might rotate in for a series. And whereas early in the season there seemed to be some disconnect with the offensive parts, right now it seems like the unit is very cohesive regardless of what the combination is out there. As an offensive line, as you improve individually, do you also kind of improve collectively? Is it almost like one working unit with a series of parts that are connected somehow?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. I think it's never one guy, making a block. It's a group of guys. And that works with all 11 guys, I think. It's not ever one guy. It's all of us working together to make things happen out there.
And we're visiting with Nate Soter. I want to ask you about your quarterback, Tom Brady, and his sustained excellence, but more so what he's done the last few weeks with his legs, because it's become a topic since he rolled left and threw a touchdown pass to Danny Amendola in New York, and then later said that it's an area that he really worked on to extend plays. How has that changed for you guys on the offensive line, too, knowing that Tom not only is going to be mobile within the pocket, but he might actually move up and out of the pocket, whether to his left and to his right?
Well, I mean, he's done great, and I think that he has worked at that. Our job is just to protect him wherever he's at and however long it takes. So we don't put too much thought into, where he's going to be or that sort of thing. We just block and continue to block him as long as it takes.
And, of course, the offense... very productive once more. You guys have averaged better than 40 points per game the last 5 weeks, and Tom has gone to a lot of different guys, certainly four different receivers with touchdowns reflect that on Sunday afternoon, but one of them, of course, went to Rob Gronkowski, and from afar, he looks like he's unstoppable. How much of an emotional charge do you get? Obviously, there's a physical impact, but an emotional charge do you guys get as a unit? When you see Gronk taking 2-3 defenders for extra yards, if not touchdowns, or going up and make the kind of spectacular grab he did to set up a score late on Sunday?
Yeah, well, I think there's an emotional element to everything, and I think that he's a great player. I think just as the fans felt it and just as the stadium kind of felt it, we had a lot of things working together, and that was what was really giving us our charge, I think.
Nate Soter joining us a few more minutes with the Patriots left tackle before he escapes on his bye and has some personal time this weekend, of course, with the Pats idle at 7-2. And Nate, one of the great things about this organization, obviously, is the tradition of excellence, and in particular, the dynasty years in the first decade of this century, including the three Super Bowl championships in a four-season span, and 17 players who were among the 22 who won the three titles were at Gillette Stadium this past Sunday. As a current player for the Patriots, how much of an awareness is it when those eyes are on you, and how much pride you take in not only their accomplishments, but yourself striving to live up to the standards that they've established?
Yeah, I think those guys are tremendous guys, and meeting them a few times, I think what stands out is just their humility. You would never know that they were some of the top players. They're just guys, and they're just real good down-to-earth people, and I think that's kind of a vein that's kind of traveled through and carried on, in terms of, you say, tradition. And really our mentality is a one week at a time type of deal. And I think that's the same way that they took it when they were going through those years too.
taking it the next week out of the bye. You mentioned Indianapolis earlier. It's the first of three road games in a four-week span after really a month at home. You look back at the last three games at Gillette Stadium, plus, of course, a bye week for yourselves, whether to stay here or at least to stay relatively close. When you go back on the road and play the Indianapolis Colts, what are the challenges of embarking on a stretch like that? I know you're taking it one game at a time, but this team has been so good at Gillette Stadium, and you want to continue the success outside of Foxborough.
Yeah, well, it's going to be tough. Those guys are a good team. They got we saw it the other night. They have a pretty successful defense in terms of getting to the quarterback and stopping the run and things like that. So it's definitely going to be a challenge for us to go in there and do some good things like we've been doing.
And again, we're visiting with Nate Solder of the Patriots. If we can, maybe a minute or two on the personal side for you, Nate. I'm fascinated sometimes reading players' backgrounds, some of the things they have done outside of sports. And in your case, you were an outstanding student, not only in high school, having been good enough as a student to be recruited by the Ivy League Dartmouth Big Green for basketball, but in college, a biology major with a grade point average well over three, nearly perfect, to put yourself in academic All-America status. And someone who also did a lot of work as a missionary in foreign countries. A well-rounded person, student of the game and a student outside the game. How do you describe your perspective, your worldview, and the personality that you have off the field versus the personality that exists with that narrow focus of a football player in a very violent game on Sunday?
Yeah, well, thanks for asking that question because, it's honestly my Savior Jesus Christ that works through me. I'm just a tool, and whatever he tells me to do, if it's football or if it's, going to Guatemala to help kids in an orphanage, I just need to be willing to do that. And that's what I've done so far. And it's been, an amazing adventure for me and an amazing test for me. And I'm going to continue to try to be faithful to God and everything in my life.
In addition to your spirituality, how much of the family influence giving back and committing yourself to service is there for you? Because your father served his country. He's graduated the U.S. Naval Academy and served in the armed forces.
Well, I come from a tremendous family. A long line of Navy, I think that's had a huge impact on me, the way that I was raised. And I think that on top of that, my mom and my dad, they were always so supportive in everything that I did, and I think that carries through to my life today, definitely.
Being a Navy guy, or at least from a Navy family, does the conversation, or do you ever strike up a conversation with your head coach about that? Or is that everybody knows about Bill Belichick's roots, of course, in Annapolis.
Yeah, well, it's never come up in a conversation between the two of us, but my dad tells me all the time that he was there while, Bill's dad was at the Naval Academy. So, I hear it from my dad, and I haven't had that conversation with Bill yet.
So. Well, I know when you guys talk again, it will be after the bye, or at least when you meet face-to-face and get back to work. It's on to Indianapolis and the rest of the football season, but we do hope you'll appreciate this weekend and some personal time with your wife away from Foxborough. Nate, thanks so much for visiting with us. I know it's a rare opportunity for you to get outside of Gillette and get your mind off football, but we do appreciate the few minutes you spent with us.
Hey, thanks a lot. No problem.
All right, all the best. Nate Solder, of course, left tackle, the New England. And again, the Pats getting set for the Indianapolis Colts on the other side of the bye, coming off their five straight wins, including Sunday's 43-21 rout of the Denver Broncos. When we continue on the show, we're going to take a listen back to the highlights of Sunday's game and as well hear some of the sound bites from the Patriots locker room and press conference room in the aftermath of that very important victory. But as Nate Solder just echoed and as head coach Bill Belichick said to the team en masse, seven wins doesn't get you anything in the NFL. Still a long way to go in the 2014 regular campaign. Back after this on the Bob Soucy Show here on Patriots.com.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive.
Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Welcome back to the Bob Soucy Show, exclusively on Patriots.com radio.
Tom takes the step, throwing to the near side, catch is made by Vereen, and he's in for a Patriots touchdown!
Have a hot Patriots take? Call Bob on the Ace Ticket hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Bob Soucy.
And welcome you back to our Subway Fresh broadcast studios here at Gillette Stadium. The Patriots are on to their bye, of course, here in Week 10 of the NFL's regular season, with New England at 7-2 coming off the win over the Denver Broncos, who likewise fall to 7-2. Denver will continue the season against the Oakland Raiders. The Broncos played 5 of the first 7 at home, but that schedule for the Broncos' first half of the season front-loaded with some challenging games. At least when the season began, it seemed like it would be a very difficult road for the Broncos, even though it would be primarily spent at home first half of the year, going up against the NFC West's Arizona Cardinals, Seattle Seahawks, and San Francisco 49ers, as well as the San Diego Chargers and Kansas City Chiefs. Now, they got a tough game from Kansas City, and they were beaten, of course, in overtime by Seattle, but the Broncos took care of business in all those games but the Seahawks contest, and then came into Foxborough in the driver's seat for the top seed in the AFC Conference. But the Patriots' win puts New England atop the conference standings, again at 7-2 with the Broncos by virtue of the tiebreaker. But as we have mentioned already several times, there is still a long way to go for it on the New England Patriots and the rest of the AFC and the NFL in general. And the Patriots will have a very difficult road coming up with three of the next four outside of Foxborough, where the Pats have been unbeaten the last year and a half. And in fact, they've won their last 14 games now here at Gillette Stadium and 34 straight at Gillette against AFC opponents. But coming up, it's Indianapolis. The Colts also in a bye this week, coming off their rout of the Giants on Monday night. Then the Patriots will be back at home against Detroit. Lions playing well under first-year head coach Jim Caldwell. And Matthew Stafford will have Calvin Johnson back along with Golden Tate, who's played well for the Detroit Lions thus far this season. And thereafter, two more road games back-to-back and a difficult travel schedule for the Pats for a couple of weeks, going out to Green Bay to play at Lambeau Field against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, a team many believe at the season outset would be poised to make a Super Bowl run, and still many are in that category thinking the Packers have what it takes to get to the Super Bowl out of the NFC. And then, of course, you have the San Diego Chargers. They've been down a bit of late, including the rout at the hands of the Dolphins this past Sunday, but San Diego and Phillip Rivers in San Diego will be a tough proposition for the Patriots when you look on the horizon. And then, of course, the Pats close out the season in the AFC East. And we know the Miami Dolphins are a team on the come. They beat the Pats in week one, and the Dolphins have been playing well the last few weeks.
Got a random question for you, Bob.
Sure, Kevin.
And you just went through a little bit of the gauntlet the Patriots are looking at once they return from this period of R&R. What do you think? Now, I'm not going to break it down home versus away, but what do you think is the toughest test for this Patriots team in the second half of the season?
You know, I'm gonna sound like a coach or a player. I'm gonna say
they're
next
all tough.
Yeah, they're all tough, and I think the next game.
Well, the next
is the
one could
test.
Very well be. Yeah. With Indy.
You know, with Indianapolis
in their place,
as in Indianapolis in the controlled environment with the receivers and Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Knowing now that he has Reggie Wayne and Dwayne Allen, who were not available for last year's AFC divisional round game here in Foxborough, which was played in poor weather conditions. Also, Ahmad Bradshaw wasn't available for that game. Now, Robert Mathis won't play for the Colts, of course.
Very true.
The outstanding defensive end and outside linebacker.
Yeah, I think we could see a lot of points in that game.
But DeQuell Jackson will be there. The Colts, hard team to figure out defensively. You know, you look at the Giants' offense. I mean, the Giants, for a couple of weeks, looked like they had righted things.
Exactly. They're Jekyll and Hyde a little bit.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I remember watching two of them play Bob on that. And there was a Monday night they played in Washington, and I thought it would be a pretty close game, divisional game, and Eli comes out and throws three touchdown passes in the first quarter and a half, and it's like, okay, here's a little bit of that old Giants offense. They started to get rolling, and then they come out and they can't score at all the other night against a Colts team that just a very short while ago had given up 50-some-odd points to the Steelers.
A week earlier,
yeah.
Six touchdowns by Ben Roethlisberger.
So it's hard to figure
points.
Out. I'm with
you. Yeah, you know, the Colts last year, I think defensively, showed signs of getting better under Chuck Pagano, but they went out this year and they got DeQuell Jackson, good linebacker, a veteran, but a good linebacker. They got Arthur Jones, who may be back by the Patriots game. He's been injured, the brother of Chandler Jones. And I thought that was a good acquisition for them. They re-signed Vontae Davis, who played extremely well against the Giants, and many still wonder why the Giants continued to throw at him on Monday night. But you're right, Kevin. The Giants, offensively, really in disarray early in that game, especially. Eli was betrayed by his receivers. A lot of drops in that game. Andrew Luck and the Colts, with a very impressive performance on the surface, the 40 points for Indianapolis on the road, and Luck wound up throwing for 354 yards with four touchdowns and no interceptions, yet at 25 for 46, he made
not
some
a
bad
percentage,
throws.
Yeah.
Although, you know, in fairness to Andrew Luck, the Colts don't throw as many high-percentage short passes, it seems, as some of the other teams in the league. We see these quarterbacks up over 65%, 70%.
Yeah, and they have the horses to go down the field and stretch the field when you talk about guys like T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, and I mentioned Wayne being back and Allen being back, but T.Y. Hilton was fantastic against the Pats in that divisional round game, and he's playing very well, 56 catches, almost 1,000 yards right now, 937 yards receiving.
It's a good season for most guys.
Yeah. Well, I think any NFL team would take those numbers. You're right, at season's end. If you could have 50-plus receptions and over 900 yards. We'll see what we'll see what they have again from a defensive standpoint. Jackson was shaken up in the game on Monday night. I mentioned Arthur Jones has been banged up for the Colts. And Indianapolis, as Kevin mentioned, gave up 51 to the Steelers on the road. But the previous week shut out the Cincinnati Bengals minus A.J. Green on October 19th. And more recently, though, the Giants wound up scoring 24 points. That game was really out of hand very early, and the Giants struggled offensively from the get-go. As mentioned, the Patriots at 7-2, and the Pats' offense, really, it seems almost, I hate to use the word unstoppable, and I know Nate Solder made the point that he doesn't believe in momentum, and it's an excellent point because there's the expression in baseball that momentum is only as good as the next game starting pitcher, and in football, it really is only as good as the next series, from game to game, from series to series, within a game. But the Pats have no doubt clicked offensively. Going back to the Cincinnati game in Week 5, the Patriots, during their five-game winning streak, averaging better than 40 points per game, the victory margin has been 18.5 per contest during that span. Tom Brady, Offensive Player of the Month for October, plays the first game of November in sensational style, 33 of 53, 333 yards, and there were several drops, including a couple
sure
of touchdowns.
Sure was.
Julian Edelman made a great effort on a diving attempt, but the ball, upon review, was ruled incomplete with an overturn on the field, and Brandon LaFell had a chance to make a catch in the back of the end zone.
And that cost them 4 points.
It was. It was a would-be touchdown. Instead, the Patriots got a field goal out of that. He would, of course, later come back with some key catches. But Brady, overall, 4 touchdowns. He had the one interception that was tipped, I believe, twice. I think it was tipped at the line before it went off the fingertips of Danny Amendola and was intercepted by the rookie Bradley Roby.
And that was a great play by Roby, too.
It really was.
It really was.
So you look at that interception. That's the only interception Tom has thrown in the last 5 weeks. And we know about Gronk, as good as he's been, and Julian back on track in the offense on Sunday afternoon. But you know, some of the other guys that stand out to me, and I think this is where you look at the Patriots now moving forward and do so with a lot of optimism. The offensive line, as we've talked about, protecting Brady against some very good defensive fronts during this winning streak. You start with Cincinnati. You continue with the New York Jets, albeit in a very close game. The Buffalo Bills with their front four. More recently, the Denver Broncos. The Broncos got to Brady for one sack. Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware between them. They came in with 16 sacks prior to last Sunday. And again, Tom Brady was sacked once in that game. There was some pressure periodically, of course, but for the most part, the offensive line did a great job. And even though the Patriots didn't get much of a running game going at 2.5 yards per carry, I thought they got enough, Kevin, with the 22 rushing attempts to help continue the effectiveness of play action. Yeah, I thought they ran it just well enough.
Yeah, and just often enough to keep them honest almost.
Thank you.
And that's what it seems.
Exactly.
And I will say, Bob, adding to your point, too, about when you interviewed Nate Solder, you know, we've seen Brady this year. I'm not going to say all of a sudden he's become a scrambler because that's not accurate, but we've seen Brady this year be able to move around a lot more effectively, I'll say the last month or so, within the pocket and even make a couple beautiful throws. You know, the one to Danny Amendola in the Jets game on third and goal from the 18 where he was rolling out, and he made a couple real nice throws this past week on third and long, almost, you know, getting out of the pocket just enough to create another 1 to 2 seconds for those receivers to flash open.
He did.
And it's become, this team, Bob, is becoming very difficult to defend on those third and longs.
Exactly, Kevin. Absolutely.
And it's really a nightmare for the defense to now think, okay, not only is number 12 back there and he's capable of burning us at any point from the pocket, but all of a sudden he's starting to roll out, step up, make throws on the run, and it's a new dimension to this team.
And how about guys like James Devlin?
Yeah,
drifts out of the backfield.
Yep.
Everybody's going
wide.
Devlin leaks out on the other side and has a catch for first down.
Yeah.
Danny Amendola, guy who's been so heavily scrutinized. Last couple of weeks, he's made some key catches.
Yeah,
it hasn't necessarily been quantity, but quality of catches.
Key
third downs, absolutely.
And
including some with Brady on the move.
Yeah, and you mentioned Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware, that, you know, those vaunted ends coming off the Denver front. And a guy like Nate Solder doing a great job neutralizing some of those rushes. And we saw so often on Sunday, at least I saw from my vantage point on the field, Von Miller, you know, just pinning his ears back. And Nate Solder just literally ushering him up the field and creating this huge chasm between kind of the center of the line in the end, and Brady just kind of sliding through it and making a play, and it was actually pretty amazing to watch.
Kevin, I understood that you were a master of mixing with various montages you put together.
I
had no idea you were such a wordsmith.
I'm sorry.
Chasm, I love it. I love it. You should be on the other side of the glass.
I was a...
Fred Kirsch needs to give you your own show.
I was a journalism major at UMass, so I can get around the mic a little bit.
Oh, you've got the pipes, too.
Mr. Bertrand and I were classmates back in the day and worked on campus radio and various other things, so we go back a ways.
I don't want to know about those other things. Mark Vito Bertrand, of course, does the Xbox post-game show here on Patriots.com and also is one of the outstanding talents in Boston sports talk radio, the voice of reason in afternoons on my station
exactly,
in Boston.
Exactly.
CBS Radio's the 98.5.
Keeps those guys in line. We have to listen to the hot takes with Bob
Sosi.
Steaming hot.
But then that's for another time and another day on another channel. But right here, right now, with Kevin Collins, our producer, on the Bob Sosi Show on Patriots.com, and again, inviting you to join us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or via email at webradio@patriots.com. Transitioning offense to defense, we were talking before Nate Solder joined us about Dante Hightower. At least I was talking about Dante Hightower. And Patrick Chung has had a really nice start to his second stint as a Patriot. Very aggressive defending against the run. Did a great job on Sunday. You talked earlier, Kevin, about the fourth down stops. He had great coverage on Jacob Tammy when Peyton Manning lobbed a fade toward the left corner of the end zone for Tammy, who last year had a touchdown in each of the two games against the Patriots, but he was tied up and defended very well by Patrick Chung. I thought Patrick got called for a difficult penalty in the game, but otherwise he was outstanding for the Patriots. Akeem Harris has played two games, and he's fit in nicely, kind of in that Chandler Jones role for the pass.
Just a huge sack on
two
that
sacks,
fourth and six.
Including a sack of Manning, like the ninth time
in Patriots territory, and did a great job. The Patriots brought four men, and he stunted around Vince Wilfork, almost using him like a slingshot, and came, you know, from the outside to the inside, straight up the gut, and that was such a great play to watch. A
lot of twists, a lot of games by the Patriots. Ninkovich was fantastic, of course, had the interception when Peyton Manning was a bit confused by the coverage. Hightower was up in the A-gap, so to speak. Collins was right there. I think Peyton read it as man-to-man coverage. Collins came on the rush, Hightower dropped back, and Ninkovich dropped off the end of the line and kind of curled toward the middle of the field.
Great play.
Intercepted the pass, set up a Patriots score. So that was a great play. Special teams. And I think this is one thing that was easily overlooked going into the game. Yeah, so much of the focus was on the weapons for Peyton Manning.
Exactly. The two high-powered offenses.
Yeah, the two high-powered offenses, the defenses and the moves they made in the offseason, Denver to get Tlaib and Ward and Ware, and the Patriots, of course, to go out and get Browner and in particular, Revis. But special teams, a clear advantage for the Patriots
in,
and it certainly was coming out. Gostkowski, fantastic per usual. I can't say enough about Steven Gostkowski. I think when you look at the body of his work, the only thing that's lacking, of course, is that defining kick on a postseason stage like his predecessor, Adam Vinatieri, enjoyed. Not once, but several times, But Gostkowski has been so reliable for this team. He's on the verge of leading the NFL and scoring for a third straight year. He's just a short way from becoming the all-time leading scorer in this franchise's history. And on Sunday night, in swirling wind, tried to kick toward moving goalposts.
Amazing.
He kicks a 49-yarder to start the scoring for the Patriots. He comes back the other way later in the game and kicks a 40-plus, I think a 45-yard
goal. It was a 45-yarder into the teeth of
into
a 25-30-mile-an-hour wind.
Coming in from that open corner where the lighthouse and the
unbelievable.
Bridge are.
And I was sitting there, Bob, and I was thinking, when they decided to kick, I said, this is a 50-50 proposition. You know, given the conditions, the temperature, the wind, kicking toward the open end, kicking into the teeth of the wind, and I thought, oh, this is a dicey proposition. And we have been seeing teams in these situations just go for it. And I was really surprised and sort of questioning it as he trotted out onto the field, but boy, did he look cool as a cucumber trotting out there.
He certainly did. And speaking of cool as a cucumber, how about Julian Edelman becomes the first player in franchise history to run four punts back for touchdowns. Yeah. Julian now the leading active punt returner
what
in the
NFL. What a play
NFL
that was. It went from I had my head in my hands saying, how did they not block that kick? And then all of a sudden, I was jumping up and down within 20 seconds.
I was saying we're going to hear that in a montage coming up momentarily, but Colquitt drops the snap.
Yeah.
And then it looks like
Brandon Bolden. It's like, how
right
do you miss
it? Block it? I don't know if the punt went through the 38.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Yeah. If I hadn't calling it, I was ready to say, and the punt is blocked.
Yeah.
And in mid-sentence, had to say the punt
adjust.
Is launched.
Yeah. And it was a line shot of a punt,
drive.
Yeah.
And Julian ran it back 84 yards, but I didn't do the computing watching the video, but seeing the replay, he had to run, in my estimation, about 124 yards or 134 yards because he fields the ball on the left side at the 16. He runs to the right, rounds to the sideline, gets down the right sideline, and then he cuts it back across the field at the 30 and outdistances the punter to the goal line and then rifles the ball in the stands. And then Tom Brady runs about 60 yards from the Patriots bench. To celebrate in the end zone.
And two great blocks, one by Tim Wright coming from the side, and Jonathan Casillas, newcomer. Two great blocks that helped spring him on the right-hand side.
And some from Denver and some neutral observers might say that the right play was an illegal block, that he should have been called for a foul but or penalty. But I did hear or read that Mike Carey, the CBS
during the telecast.
Referee in resident now, the retired referee, said that it was a good
you and I, you know, you obviously calling the game and me being down on the field during the game on the bench, you know, we don't get the privilege of watching the telecast, and I always try to TiVo it or watch the NFL game rewind to catch up on, you know, what's going on during the telecast. And I was watching that this morning before PFW in progress, and Carey did a great job, and he was very concise and consistent with his judgment. And he said, in no way should this be a penalty, and that's a great no-call by this crew. And so that made me feel better that it was a legitimate play.
Absolutely. And you mentioned Casillas, and I think Jonathan Casillas, another guy that the Patriots acquired from outside the organization, good special teamer in New Orleans and as well Tampa Bay, kind of comes in almost anonymously right before the trade deadline. And he had a huge night, special team, several tackles for the Patriots, played with a lot of energy. You look at other guys this team has acquired during the course of 2014, like Don Jones, again, an easily overlooked acquisition, waived by Miami out of the preseason. Patriots pick him up, and he's been fantastic for this team. And those guys are so instrumental in the hidden yards, establishing good field position for the offense. And, again, Jones, Casillas, and then Braden Bolden nearly got to the punt. And Braden has played very well for this team. Remember the fumble he forced against Cincinnati that led to a Kyle Arrington touchdown. And I haven't even mentioned the name of Matthew Sletter yet. So you look at the special teams unit for the Patriots, and it becomes a punchline sometimes on my station in particular when people talk about, well, you know, the Broncos went out and got a Pro Bowl player, you know, X, Y, or Z. And all the Patriots picked up a core special teamer. Well, it's almost like some teams go out and sign the closer, and they get the frontline starter, the ace of the starting staff, but they forget about the back end of the rotation and middle relief. And they never have that bridge from the starters to the closer.
And
just, they lose games in the seventh and eighth inning. Well, the Patriots have that third facet. And, you know, again, where it's a point, it's a special team more than just the name itself in the eyes of Bill Belichick, who, as a coach, of course, was reared on special teams in the NFL. We've got Big Al standing by in Valdosta, Georgia. We do want to go back and revisit the game between the Patriots and the Broncos on Sunday and hear some of the highlights and sound bites of that contest. Kevin has worked hard to put together one of our usually fantastic montages. But first, Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia. What's on your mind? How are you today, Al?
Good afternoon there, Bob.
Good afternoon.
Listen, I know I'm not the first. I certainly won't be the last, but it is so great to have you doing, you know, the Pats games. And, you know, I say that, I mean, like a lot of us, big fan of Gil Santos, and I go back far enough that I actually remember the guy before Gil Santos.
Thank you, Robert.
This is, you know, when I was very small now, but there was the guy before Gil Santos was a guy named Bob Gallagher. That did, I think he was a local sports guy in Boston. And then when the Miami Dolphins joined the AFL, he took the Dolphins job. And because that was what everybody was doing. I mean, that was the whole Northeastern seaboard was moving to Florida, you know, back then. And that was, he just sort of followed along with that, I guess. But then that's how we got Gil. And like starting in 66, when the Dolphins started in 66 with the Patriots had to change announcers, so we got Gil, and then basically we had Gil for the next, whatever, 30, 40 years or whatever, and now, you know, it's so great to have you.
Well, I appreciate that very much. That's very kind of you, and you know, as I've said many times, I mean, Gil is one of my favorites. I was a fan, too, and, you know, I'm not trying to replace him by any stretch, just trying to carve my own niche with Scott Zolak, but it's a privilege to be in the same booth occupied so long for so long for, and for so well by Gil and Gino. I mean, you talk about the perfect marriage on radio in my eyes, in my ears, and those guys were it. Thank you very much.
No problem. You know, they always say you don't want to be the guy that follows the guy. But if there's anybody that can be the guy that follows the guy, it seems like it could be you. I just don't know how you handle that linebacker, Zolak. I don't know how you... Yeah, I don't know how you are able to manage that. You ought to get the combat pay just for doing that.
Well, I'll tell you what, he is a great guy off the air, and he is a great guy to work with on the air. And Zoe is so passionate and so energetic, as you know. And I got to say this, I've been on the air with other stations, other markets during the course of the last season and a half, and people ask about it because they hear a lot of the calls of the show ponies. And yes, thank you, Kevin. And that's so. And it's not shtick. It's not contrived. That's Scott Zolak. But I really appreciate the insight and the analysis. I think he knows the organization inside and out. He's got a great relationship with so many people who are entrenched with the Patriots. Of course, he's been tied so closely to the team. And he's a great partner with whom to work. And, I think that we complement one another well, hopefully. He's helped me tremendously. When you talk about following someone like Gil, I could not have done it, I think, without somebody like Zoe, because we have a lot of fun, and he put me at ease right away. He made me feel like I belonged in that booth, and I can't thank him enough for that.
All right, well, as for the pass.
All right, let's go.
I'm looking at this six-game stretch here we had, starting with the Bears. I think it ends up with the Chargers. We've got six, really pretty ace quarterbacks here. You got Cutler, Stafford, Rivers, Rodgers, Manning, and I'm probably leaving somebody out in that, but you got the six straight games. I really think this schedule is breaking for us pretty well. We managed to get the Bears and Broncos, admittedly both at home, but the two toughest games to me in that six-game stretch were always going to be Denver and Indianapolis, and Denver at home and then at Indianapolis. And to have those two games be the games that are separated by the bye week, I think that's a slight break. Maybe not, it doesn't guarantee anything, but I think we're going to go and make a good showing in Indianapolis. And that is, to me, that is the most important game. If we have to, throw back the game at Green Bay, so what? That doesn't really have tiebreaker implications downstream. The game at the Colts, if we had to split those two, I'd want to split winning the Colts game and losing the Packers game, if we had to split those.
Yeah, I would agree with you. You always want to win the conference game first. Obviously, we'd love to see the Patriots win both. But
right.
I think you're right. And I think the difficult thing about the Packers and Chargers, of course, is both being back-to-back on the road, where you've got to travel halfway across the country and then continue on. And then,
right,
I'll be honest with you, too, a game that really concerns me a great deal is coming off of the San Diego trip, just by virtue right now, the schedule, with that game being set for 8:25 Eastern time, to have to fly back and get ready for Miami. Now, Miami coming to Foxborough in December, very different story than the Patriots going to Miami in early September, but nonetheless.
Walk start.
Yeah, and again, coming off San Diego, after that stretch, the Patriots will have to play on the road with three of the four. But, Indianapolis is a big test for this team. Mentioned the additions for the Colts they didn't have last year in the divisional playoffs, Wayne, Allen, Bradshaw, and then defensively, of course, a guy like DeQuell Jackson. But I like the way the Patriots are playing. The thing about the Patriots right now, they're getting better week after week after week in all three phases. Just a matter of staying healthy.
It is, and you'd almost rather see them hurry up and play since they're so hot. But, I really think a bye week is a great thing. There's no such thing as a bad bye week. And, so this is as good a time as any to have it. And San Diego, I mean, they're coming off of their bye week playing in Miami. And that's the game that we have locally down here on the local CBS. They kind of gravitate back and forth between the Jaguars and the Dolphins, depending on, I guess what the programmers there want to do.
Yeah.
But we happen to have the Dolphins and Chargers this past weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, they're coming off, San Diego's coming off their bye week. I know they had a 1 o'clock Sunday coming from the West Coast, but
right,
they're coming off their bye week. You'd think that they would put a little bit better performance out there than what they did.
I'm
so scared of the Chargers right now.
No, that was a tough one. And Al, I really appreciate the call and the kind words. I do have to let you go with that thought, and I think you're right. Very poor performance by the Chargers. I mentioned Scott Zolak, thanks to Big Al, who called in to talk about our broadcast a little bit. I have kept Zoe on hold for far too long, and he is standing by as my partner on the Patriots Radio Network. And, of course, having done a lot of work the last couple of days getting set for the weekend's programming, including a Patriots All Access and Patriots This Week with Matt Chatham and Jermaine Wiggins. But nonetheless, I imagine he's going to enjoy a little downtime away from Gillette Stadium this weekend. So, how are you?
Doing well, Bob, and it's never a bye week for us guys. You know, I think the program needs more. I mean, we got to talk to Gronkowski on the show yesterday, sat down with the quarterback, by the way. You can check out on Patriots All Access. We're going to split it up. We're going to do a little bit on Friday night this Friday, and then the following Friday being the bye week. And, reflect of Tom Brady as the 5 weeks ago, how, the sky's falling, and he goes, boy, people forget, we were up 10, in that Miami game, and yeah, things fell apart after that. By the way, we ran a 7 out of 8 after that, but we're a bad team. He said, it feels like we're 2-7 and not 7-2.
Yeah, he was really, I thought, very open today in his press conference, and he talked about leadership, being a good teammate, and, said he's basically still the same guy growing up in the neighborhood in which you grew up in Northern California. How did you find him sitting down today?
That's a bunch of crap. There's always the same guy. He came in, he had these nice cargo pants on. They're probably $350 cargo pants. I buy mine at Target. And he's got the UGG shoes on. He's cleanly shaven. He looked good. He kind of dresses down, but if you look closely, his price tag's a little more expensive than what it was 15 years ago. But I complimented him. I said, hey, the appreciation I get out of covering you, not only day to day, but week to week, and of course, throughout the season, and then the off season is, man, you're the same guy you were. He really is at the core, I think, the same guy, treats people the same way, talks the same way, deals with rookies the same way as he was, and I think there's an appreciation that, he had to work through a lot of things early in his career, he kind of openly talked about, winning early and how easy that came, but when you win 3 out of 4, first couple of years, you keep thinking, boy, I'm going to go back there, and it's been a struggle to get back there and win the whole damn thing again.
Well, what about this stretch coming up for the Patriots to get back to where they want to go? So important to have the top seed, and they're in the driver's seat, but they've got a tough road ahead.
Yeah, the more I look at it now, and everybody likes to call this the gauntlet, and let's not devalue it for what it is. 4 weeks ago, San Diego was great. Now they're struggling. Pittsburgh was awful. Now they're great. So now all of a sudden, if Pittsburgh was in the mix there instead of San Diego, this is going to be a more difficult stretch. The games are what they are. And, let's take it for what it is. It's great quarterback play. It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to going to Lambeau. It's kind of like the church gods of football. The sanctuary. I can't wait to see Lambeau. And boys, for Patriots fans going out there, Rodgers versus Brady, knock on wood, as long as everybody's healthy, it's going to be one heck of a game. Probably last time Tom Brady will play in Lambeau Field. You never know when you go back there. It's been a while. So there's a lot of good things to look forward to in the second half here, but I go back to that 4-game stretch in 17 days. Maybe that to them, inside Foxborough, inside those closed walls, maybe to them that was their gauntlet. Get through there, and they got through that at 3-1, and we're off and running now. We're clicking on all cylinders, special teams, defense, and, of course, offense.
Well, that's a great point. And I think that this organization as well as anyone, having played for the Patriots and, of course, followed Bill Belichick's team so closely during the last decade and a half. Why does this team, how does this team get better week after week at this level? I mean, last year there were the injuries, and yet they still managed to continue to play well. This year, there's no doubt about it, they have progressed in every phase since Kansas City in week 4.
Well, I don't really know if they have training camp. I know they think they have training camp, but I go back to my days where 2 days were 2 days, and you're full pads, and it's sweat. The pads are sweat. You hit, and you're sore. The league doesn't allow you to do that anymore. And I think Bill has really adapted how he coaches and his style because, without having the team around, if it was up to Bill, he'd have these guys in, right after the season ends, 1 week, and you come in, and you're in 4 days a week. And you're doing quarterback schools and teaching sessions. You can't do that anymore. The league doesn't allow you to do it. So I think once he gets his hands on him, that, first quarter of the season, to kind of find out and figure out what team he has. And he's always told me around 5 or 6 games in, I kind of start to know what type of team I have. And then, he gears it up and we hit Thanksgiving, and that's his target point right there, Thanksgiving. After Thanksgiving, and Parcells always said this too, all your best football after Thanksgiving, get in the tournament, see what the hell happens. And it's been that way for 15 years here. And I think we're lucky. We're lucky it's that way. We're lucky that Bill has adapted and, you know, adjusted his roster accordingly.
Also no coincidence with Scott Zolak that Bill found what he had in Rob Gronkowski, got the Gronk of 2011 before the ankle injury.
Yeah.
And the Super Bowl. He's been a phenomenal force.
Yeah, and man, I mean, it's fun watching him play. I still hold my breath when he gets hit. You know, the TJ Ward hit. You know, and there's a lot of talk, and people think it's a clean hit. I thought he went with the crown of the helmet to the knee, and he flexed after a first down, by the way. Most defensive backs don't get up and flex after first down. I think he was pretty happy how he hit him, the style that he hit him, how he limped with the crown of the helmet, and very reminiscent of the way it was last year. I'll stand by that statement. I have no problem standing by it. It kind of irritates me because I think Rob's put a lot into it, would rather get hit high instead of low. And I understand he's a big guy, and that's how you get tied down, but I think there's a cleaner way you can tackle people.
You also made a point on your talk show with Andy Gresh on Boston's 98.5, the Sports Hub, this past week. Wes Welker's line last week when asked about how do you tackle Rob Gronkowski, and he joked, well, you go for the knee.
Yeah, and they all thought it was pretty funny and all that. That's great and all. You know, you go on the knee. So I guess when you tackle Wes, like, you just go for the head, right?
Yeah, exactly. I can't imagine that you know, somebody given his history with injury problems would even go there.
Somebody tapped out of the game because he got hit by Devin McCourty. And I have nothing against. I love Wes. Wes is one of my favorite players I've ever been around. I talked to him for a while before and after that game. I wish him no ill will. That comment kind of stood out during the week last week. You know, we kind of replayed it on the show, and wow, it's really weird coming from a guy that's got some sort of an injury history, and nobody wants to get hit in the knee, man. I mean, it's not fun. I know ACL surgery isn't what it used to be, and it's not a year and a half anymore, but it is 6 months of the most grueling, intensive therapy that I think any athlete would ever go through, and I wish that on nobody.
And so, you know, talking about Welker, and I don't want to make too much of the game against the Broncos. It is only one game, but so much of the conversation over the last year and a half has been all the weapons Peyton Manning has that Tom Brady does not. But now, having seen the Broncos and the Patriots go at it again, and you start to look at the receiving corps, for example,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have Julius Thomas versus Rob Gronkowski. You
right.
have Wes Welker versus Julian Edelman. Now, Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, yeah, you probably rank those guys above their counterparts on the Patriots. But the way I look at it now, you know, maybe going into the game, people overrated Denver relative to New England and underrated the Patriots by comparison.
You know, I thought that in pregame, and I don't only thought that in pregame. I thought that 2 weeks ago. You know, talking to people close to it, I think they felt that, you know, in a matchup standpoint, this guy versus that guy, that they actually match up better against Denver than they did Chicago. And being down there in the field, I mean, Chicago across the front, man, if Martellus Bennett is 3 inches taller than Julius Thomas, he's bigger, I think he's faster, stronger, and the guy...
Oh, unfortunately, we lost Scott Zolak there. The call dropped, but, you know, the point that he's making, I think, is a great one. When talking about Martellus Bennett and Alshon Jeffrey, along with Brandon Marshall, big receivers. And in the case of Bennett, you know, somebody who is a guy with a strong track record in the NFL, whether he's been with Dallas or the New York Giants. And as Zoe said, you know, he's a big physical guy. Julius Thomas is a very athletic guy, no doubt about it, primarily a college basketball player at Portland State. Played on a couple of NCAA tournament teams, but only played 1 year of college football after his basketball career was completed. Now he's got 20-plus touchdown catches the last two seasons and has a 10-touchdown season in the works right now in 2014. But Julius Thomas, in comparison to Rob Gronkowski, certainly not the physical specimen that Gronk is, certainly doesn't block nearly as well. You know, when you look at what Gronk does after the catch and the matchup problems he creates for other teams, you know, I said this in the offseason when doing a sports talk spot on 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston, after the Jimmy Graham contract situation was resolved with the Saints, and what I thought about Jimmy Graham and was asked about the value of Rob Gronkowski in comparison. And I said at the time, to the surprise of my co-host, Mark Bertrand, the aforementioned Mark Bertrand, that I think Gronk is twice the player because Gronk is so involved in the blocking game. And you know, as great as Graham is as a receiver, again, he's a receiver, not a tight end, per se. Same goes for Julius Thomas in comparison to Rob Gronkowski. But, Zoe, you were making the point, and I apologize before the call dropped, but you were making the point about Martellus Bennett and the Chicago Bears receivers maybe presenting a more difficult matchup for the Patriots than the Denver Broncos when you broke things down.
Well, I'm not saying they're better, but obviously, you look at it, Manny Sanders was kind of manned up against different guys. You trusted guys like Butler on the outside late in the game with it. Do we got an echo here?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, good. That's all that matters, because I got an echo, but I'm just
going to
keep
talking
like I'm in a stadium. I look at Chicago, and I'm not saying Chicago's receiving better. I would take Denver's talent over them, but when you really look at it, that's a team that, they match up well against, but seriously, I mean, big guys across the front. Chicago was a scary group seeing them in person.
Scott Zolak with us, and Zoe, we'll talk about Indianapolis this time next week, but I want to talk about two guys who really were under a lot of scrutiny locally in Boston and probably throughout New England. Matt Patricia, the defensive coordinator for the Patriots.
A man.
And Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator for the Patriots.
Hey,
did they just suddenly get smart the last 5 weeks?
What's that?
I said, did they suddenly take smart pills the last 5 weeks?
No. When all of a sudden, wow, they pulled out Bill Belichick's history of coaching, and he read it five times front to back, backwards. And, they didn't forget how to coach. They didn't find some new schemes. I think, and I said this today on our show, too, I said, you look at this defense, I don't think they've peaked yet. We're seeing peaks week to week. They're gaining confidence. McCourty's coming up and hitting. Pat Chung, I've never seen Pat Chung play like that. Revis and Browner obviously allow you to do those type of things, but I'd turn Jamie Collins loose more, and I think that's what they did. And I'm really, really excited to see Dante Hightower. People keep saying, we built today too, MVP or most important Patriot, MIP, at the midpoint here. You can make a case for Hightower. He was good outside early in the year. He kicked inside last year. Remember how that went? And he's really adapted well, taking the coach, and that's Matt Patricia, don't you?
Yeah, and I think it's a great point about the young guys gaining more confidence, too. I mean, you've been in the league. You know what it's like. Year one is difficult. Year two is also, I think sometimes people forget it. You being only in your second year in the NFL, there's still a lot to learn. And in the case of Dante Hightower, now year three, he's so much more confident in playing so much better.
Yeah, I really like Hightower. I think he's responded well. And Josh, on the flip side of all that, he's always called great plays. I mean, sometimes they get cute at midfield, but you've got to build some of those things to keep people honest, and they're going to score 40 points, and that's always been the case there when you got Tom Brady as quarterback, and Josh knows how to call plays better than anybody.
Hey, Zoe, before I let you go,
There
is someone here who'd like to ask you a hard-hitting question, someone who just walked into our booth.
Dun, dun, dun. Hey, Zoe, it's Jackie.
Jackie, what's up?
I just want you to talk about the offensive line in terms of their progression from what we saw in week one against Miami to where they are right now.
Thank you. And, going back and look at some of the tape more again, and the games that Dan Conley, Ryan Wendell, and Brian Stork had where they're picking up secondary blitzes, secondary pressures, where maybe you struggle on the outside, and this is not saying that Bulmer and Soler didn't play well. I thought they really did. But their ability to scan and block that front, coming in, all you talked about was DeMarcus Ware and Vaughn Miller.
Right.
Those guys got there. They were close, but it to work in conjunction with Brady and to allow him that ability to slide up,
right,
to avoid pressure, move, and throw on the run. Third and eight, third and 18, third and 20, are now all of a sudden, things where you could look at it and say, boy, back in the day, it would be an automatic, let's check to a draw, let's check to a screen. Now, all of a sudden, it's part of the repertoire, and it's something we haven't had in 14 years. And it's nice to see those guys play well, because we kicked the living you-know-what out of them for 5 weeks,
right,
and paying dividends.
Yeah, what's led to that cohesion, though? What's led to that cohesion to come together at this point? Is it just more reps? I mean, just getting into a rhythm?
Well, I think coaching, too. I mean, Dave Guglielmo, who took a lot of heat also, has kind of held that together. But I think it starts with Stork in the middle, and he solidifies things. Having him healthy allows Wendell to kick to the right. If you didn't have that, you'd be in big trouble. Because if you didn't have a Stork, Wendell goes back to center, and you really don't have a right guard.
Yeah. Good.
Hey,
cool.
Zoe, thank you so much. I know you've been a busy man, and
right,
appreciate it as always.
Looking forward to the away game next year. I mean, not next year, but next week.
Look forward to that steak at St. Elmo's on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah.
St. Elmo's, great steak place, and also the Rob Lowe commercials with St. Elmo's Fun are my favorite.
Yeah, that was honestly the best steak I've ever had was at St. Elmo's.
I'll see you. Thanks, guys.
All right, bye, thanks, so appreciate it very much. And again, you get a chance to hear about the Patriots' offensive line picking up secondary pressures. And again, my point to Big Al earlier from Valdosta, Georgia, that's why Scott Zolak is so good to work with, because he has fun, he injects a lot of personality, but he also provides some great insight and analysis of the games that he calls.
I thought you were going to say he also provides great restaurants.
No, I was going to say he's great company at Saturday night restaurant.
All of that is true.
Where's the beef?
And where's the beef on a Saturday night before a Sunday Patriots game on the road? It's usually where
Wherever Zoe is.
Capello and I are sitting.
Yeah. Yum. That's exciting.
Jackie Britton.
Hey,
welcome back.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Jackie Britton of Patriots.com, Patriots Today, and the bye week is upon us, and the Patriots have gone their separate ways.
Tell you what, it feels like a ghost town already in here. We were in the locker room earlier, and it's like a lot of players came in, got some stuff, and left before we had a really chance to talk to a lot of them. No, I mean, it was good. We talked to a handful of players, actually more than I was expecting to get, but definitely a lot of guys eager to kind of just unwind. Unplug, you know, disconnect from football, but obviously not get too far away from football, and kind of finding a balance between how much time do I take off, how much time do I stay, you know, how much attention are they going to pay to some of the games this weekend. So, it's already feeling like ghost town around here.
It's almost a feeling of like college spring break.
Yeah.
And you get that last final exam.
Right.
Over with.
Yeah.
And then
done.
You hit the road.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's a great feeling. I know that because I was in college last week.
I thought it was 2 weeks ago.
yeah, that's how it feels around here for sure, though.
Jackie Britton with us, and the Patriots win over the Denver Broncos 43-21 before the bye. A huge win, great atmosphere at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah.
Far from ideal
game.
Conditions, and the fans were fantastic again.
That's probably my favorite game so far this
intended.
Season. Yeah. yeah, that was definitely my favorite game, I think, so far this season. It was just all around, just pregame, during the game, postgame. It was all just really good stuff. And, I think, you know, I've got the stats, like, right here. I mean, for Peyton Manning to throw the ball 57 times, for that, you wouldn't expect only 21 points on the board. So I think that was definitely a testament to, you know, the adversity they faced, the defense really gelling together. Brandon Brown are, you know, getting more comfortable, obviously more pumped up this game, I thought, than, you know, recently than we've seen. But it was a really good game.
And getting his legs. He talked about it. Feels in much, much better shape
after
the last two games.
Right. He admitted, you know, after the first one that he felt rusty, and that's to be expected, you know. But definitely you could tell he felt it. Like, he felt like he was back in it. Like, all right, I'm in this, you know. So good to see him back out there. I asked Darrell Revis about him today, actually. Just what has he brought to the secondary, you know, in general? And he said his physicality. I mean, he just really brings it. He really brings the energy, and a lot of us feed off of that, you know. And Browner was asked about that earlier this week, and he said, you know, when I'm watching Rob Gronkowski, I get excited. You know, it's like it's contagious. They all kind of thrive off of that energy. And, of course, we know Brady is like that. So, he brings a physical, energetic element to the defense. Not that they needed that, but you've got to have a certain confidence and a certain – I guess swagger is the word that I heard today to be able to play that position, and seems like that's a group that's got it in the room.
Certainly there was a group on the sideline who had it.
Yeah.
17 of the 22 players for the Patriots
right.
from the three championship teams in a four-year span were on hand Sunday at Gillette Stadium, and you had a chance to interview a couple of those, including Kevin Faulk.
Right. And no disrespect to Kevin Faulk, but Richard Seymour, that was
Richard
exciting
Seymour
for me.
As well. He looked like he was still in shape to play.
Yeah.
Both of those guys
I had met Kevin Faulk a couple of times just through charity events that he's had since I've been here, so I've gotten to know him. Really, really nice guy. But this was the first time I'd actually met Richard Seymour, which was exciting for me. Go Dogs! but it was, it was cool to be able to see them on the field, and you forget that, you know, these are three-time Super Bowl winners in the span of 4 years, and, you know, to be honored for that accolade is something that's really special and something that to be valued, and to be able to talk to both of them before. I mean, I felt like Seymour was kind of speechless. You know, the interview happened so fast, and I don't even remember what I asked him, but just about how did it feel to be back on, you know, Gillette Stadium, and all he could do was just thank the fans. You know, he's like, I can't even put it to words. So a cool night for them, certainly, and it was awesome to see it you know, on the field.
One of the things that I think is really interesting about Seymour and Lawyer Malloy, with whom you've talked this year, and even Deion Branchell, the Deion, of course, came back to the Patriots after being traded to Seattle. Those are guys in Seymour and Malloy, of course, went elsewhere from New England. And yet they come back.
Right. And they're loyal guys.
They it's almost like welcoming the prodigal son back home.
Yeah.
They're welcome back to the family here.
Yeah. I think that that's true. I mean, I would expect that, I think. You know, the fans didn't seem to be bothered by the fact that they were back here. But, yeah, I mean, Lawyer Malloy, I mean, come all the way from Washington or, you know, Seattle. I mean, that says a lot to where his loyalty lies, I think, you know, truthfully. And they'll be the first ones to tell you that, that they – a lot of them do call this home, even though – I mean, and I think that there's a lot – I mean, they do understand the business aspect of it. You know, a lot of guys say that, but there's always that human element that's involved and you want to be bitter. But I think that they – that's what it comes down to.
They're Patriots at heart now that their careers are over. And they were Patriots first and foremost, and Patriots for the most part during their careers. But they're Patriots at heart now they've come back.
Yeah, and they all stick together, 22 of them in total, but 17 who were out there on Sunday. So pretty remarkable stat to have, you know. Yeah.
And the two guys who are still playing from those three teams are going to be on the same field
that's
next week.
Yeah,
Adam Vinatieri for Indianapolis kicking so well again for the Colts, and Tom Brady, of course, for the Pats.
Throwing pretty well. So,
and Brady today speaking very well.
Yeah.
Interesting press conference with Tom.
He was very, a lot of people commented on just how raw he was emotionally. You know, talking about his relationship with Julian Edelman. I mean, that was just, it was so, it didn't seem so calculated. Not that he ever does, but you know, the standard lines of, you know, the type of questions that he gets. But today he was just very raw, very real. And not that he said anything like that was, you know, oh my gosh, can't, but it was just, you could just see something different, I think, in the way he talked today. And I don't know how much of that is going into a bye and coming off of a huge win over Peyton Manning. But, he talked about Julian Edelman a lot and just about how their relationship has grown. And, it's interesting. I don't know if this means anything at all, and I'm not trying to, you know, read into it too much, but, you know, Brady does warm up, at least during warmups at practice when we're out there, down on the far side where Edelman is. And I can't remember, I mean, I've only been here, this is my third year, but from all the times I've been out there, at least this season, the two quarterbacks are always in the middle, you know, and so he's been down on that side. Julian's always with the linemen when they're doing the warmups and stretching. So you can definitely see, like, the spark in their, like, their relationship, their friendship, and certainly it shows on the field, you know, how much trust they have in each other. But yeah, he was candid today, and I thought what he said about Edelman was really great.
And as well, talked about the age difference of him and many of his teammates, and yet how he's still accessible.
Yeah, that's funny. because Edelman was. Were you in there for that? Edelman was asked about that. Like, somebody asked him.
No, I'd already come down here.
That's right. Somebody had asked him. You know, Tom says he's still one of the guys, even though he's you know, a sure to be Hall of Famer, 3-time Super Bowl champion. Like, he's still one of the guys. And Julian was just like, really? One of the guys? And it just kind of played off of that and was really funny. Yeah. And this seems like they've got a good relationship.
Jackie, what about the bye week for you and Patriots.com, Patriots Today? What's on the horizon? I know All Access Friday night.
Yeah, All
CBS's
Access Friday night.
CBS's Boston's affiliate, WBZ.
Right.
And Patriots.com. Eventually.
Right, and that's a good show. I'm not going to give too much away, but you guys should watch that one. We get a, you know, Scott Zolak gets a good sit-down interview that's definitely worth watching. And it's, for me, I don't have a huge role in it this week, but All Access is always good, and I'm going to go home to Georgia. So, but for Patriots.com, we still have plenty up there. We've got a couple of features, not just from me, but from the wonderful Bob Soucy as well. Just kind of positional breakdowns. Mm-hmm. That's why I asked Zoe about the offensive line, because that's one that I was focusing on for today. So, there's still plenty to talk about. Like, we've had access to players the past 2 days, so get a lot of, last-minute information from them. And, there's still plenty to put up there.
And you had access to coaches, including Dave Guglielmo, offensive line coach yesterday.
Yeah, I really like Dave Guglielmo. I had a chance to interview him when he first got here, and he's just salt to the earth, super nice, couldn't have a better personality, just really, really, really nice. And, we talked to him yesterday, I guess that was, and Mike Reese asked him a question about, you know, facing the adversity that they did earlier this season. And he's like, look, yeah, I mean, I know it was bad, you know, he's like, but I think that we've figured it out. Like, you know, maybe And that's why it was interesting. I wanted to hear Zoe's opinion, especially on Stork, because DeGuglielmo was talking about how it's, you know, when you're a veteran offensive line and you've got a rookie center in there, you know, how maybe that's a little unnerving to the tackles, you know, when there's no real chemistry built there, you know, you wonder what the trust level is. And, you know, so he spoke to that and just the importance of that's why it's your every individual's responsibility to do their own job and to execute it. And it really is as simple as that. And so he says that the cohesion has been a lot better. They've gotten into a rhythm. While they're not set on any specific guys at center or whatever, he wouldn't get into that. But, you know, seems like they've kind of settled on Stork. But, you know.
Yeah, I think he's really been impressive. And he's also had the benefit of playing between two centers like Dan Connolly and a guy who I think really has been underrated somewhat these last few weeks in terms of his importance to this team, Ryan Wendell.
Yeah.
The intelligence that he brings to the offensive line, but also the ability when Stork was injured with a concussion to play center once again and then to adapt to guard once more. It's a position he's played a little bit, but he's been primarily a center the last 2+ years, and he's helped to solidify things inside.
Yeah, he spoke to all those, to that and more, and had a lot to say about that. And just the leadership, too, that Wendell and both Connolly bring to that group, which is something that you wondered about when Logan Mankins left. And so it was great to have access to those coaches, all of them, kind of get their thoughts on things. Dable. I asked Brian Dable about, you know, the tight end. Like, you know, you watch a guy like Rob Gronkowski, who's clearly worked so hard to get back to where he is and to play the entire season, and you see what he goes through on a daily basis from, you know, OTAs, the off season when he was really just getting back into it. First couple of games, I mean, it was good to have him out there, but still wasn't fully in, you know, football, I don't want to say shape, but was kind of getting his feet under him as well. And then you watch where he is now, like a 3-TD game, you know, how much does that excite you as a coach? You know, you've watched him through this progression, and he wasn't budging on it. He was like, yeah, you know, well, all the tight ends work hard, and Gronk's just one of the tight, he's one piece to a puzzle, and so it was cool to kind of talk to the coaches because we never really get that access.
Yeah, it was. You can hear a lot of those coaches' sound bites and see them as well on Patriots.com, Patriots Press Pass, and Patriots
right.
Today.
Yeah.
Jack, you appreciate it. Have a great
trip
home.
Thank you.
And thanks for your patience today. I know you had to hang around the studio.
Oh, no.
A
I was
time.
Good. Don't worry. I was knocking stuff out like Kevin Collins. I'm just kidding. Yeah,
he looks a little
you.
Dazed and confused on the other
he,
side of the glass.
He usually is. We'll let that one sink in for a minute. Yeah.
Jackie, thanks so much.
Thank you, Bob. I'll see you later.
Okay, Jackie Britton again of Patriots Today and Patriots.com and Patriots All Access as well, one of the contributors to that program that airs on Friday night on the CBS Boston affiliate WBZ Channel 4 in Boston, but also can be seen on archived episodes on Patriots.com as well. Kevin Collins, certainly with the wherewithal before his encounter, a close encounter with Jackie Britton before prior to our interview, put together a montage revisiting the Sunday win for the Patriots over the Denver Broncos. We're going to hear that, but first, I believe Kevin would like me to take a commercial timeout. So let's take this break on the Bob Soucy Show from inside our Subway Fresh broadcast studios. Back with the highlights of Sunday's game over the Broncos. Plus, we'll hear from Tom Brady on a couple of different topics, including leadership and being a good teammate, after these words on Patriots.com radio.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
Pumped up for this week's game?
Beast mode! Protein bars for everybody!
Well, we are too.
Energy!
Call the Bob Soucy Show on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Bob Soucy.
And welcome back, everybody. In this bye week for the Patriots, week 10 of the NFL's regular season, the Pats at 7-2 atop the AFC East, and of course, right now, the best record in the AFC overall, with the victory over the Denver Broncos, also 7-2, but the Pats, again, with that win, owners of the tiebreaker at this point, for what it's worth, still with plenty of season left for the New England Patriots, Denver Broncos, and the rest of the National Football League. But nonetheless, the Patriots, again, on a five-game winning streak, playing so well, and most recently with a 43-21 win over the Broncos this past Sunday at Gillette Stadium as the Pats improved to 11-5 against Peyton Manning during Tom Brady's career as the New England Patriots quarterback, with Manning, of course, both a Colt and a Bronco during that stretch. We've been promising it all show long since we came on the air at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And now, without further ado, thanks to our producer, Kevin Collins, his diligence, and the click of his mouse from his computer on the other side of the glass is our producer. Let's go back to Sunday afternoon, late afternoon in Foxborough on a chilly, windy day as the Patriots beat the Broncos in a big way.
Delay of game. First 5-yard penalty. Still third down.
Get jacked up. That's what we need. Lots of noise. It's got that playoff feel. This place is amped.
Peyton throws it across the middle. Picked up by Yankovich. Runs it back right to the 40. Robbed at the 35. Tripped up and brought down at the 34-yard line.
You know, it's a hard team to stop. A great offensive team. Great quarterback. They're well coached. And we've got to give our players a lot of credit for the way they competed out there tonight.
Rob is spun down by T.J. Ward.
Cheap shot by a dirty player again. T.J. Ward goes right for the knee. Helmet on the knee. That should be 15, and they should be talking to that guy right now. That's a dirty play.
Tom in the pocket. Pumps. Throws to the end zone. Sliding catch. Edelman. Touchdown. Patriots in front of T.J. Ward. A line drive sailing toward Edelman from the 16. Runs to the right. Julian gets outside of the 30. Edelman down the right side, 140. Edelman to midfield. A blocker to lead the way to the 40 of Denver. Cutting left to the 30. Only the punter to beat to the 10. To the end zone. Touchdown. Patriots.
You know, Minitron, he's so quick, and what he did on the punt return was incredible. And then he comes out there, receiver, and makes a bunch of plays, so.
Fourth and six coming up. Peyton takes the snap. Yeah. Pressure. He goes down. And it's Akeem Ayers with a sack at the 44. Snap to Manning from the pistol to play. He throws down the right side for Welker. It's fouled and it's picked off by Browner. Circles back to the right at the 40. Browner down the right sideline across the 15. His first interception as a Patriot.
The turnovers, the fourth down stops on defense. You know, got to give our players a lot of credit for the way they competed out there tonight. And, just hung in there, you know, series after series after series. And went toe-to-toe with that group.
Tom extends the hands, takes the snap. Play fake to Marine. Throws to LaFell. It's good, Patriot!
And Brady is out of control. He's insane on the sideline. He's taking what Gronkowski took last week.
Tom pumps. He throws down the middle for Gronkowski. Somehow makes the catch. Bringing it in with his left hand. An acrobatic play. Just shy of the goal line.
Are you kidding me?
What an amazing catch by Gronkowski with Ward in coverage.
That was one of the best catches I've ever seen. So don't get any better than that. I wish they'd have given him a touchdown. Then we came back on the next play and he was a little bit easier than the next one. But that was unbelievable.
On the right side, Brady's going to drop back. He's going to throw for Gronk. He's got a touchdown now as the Patriots expand their lead. 22 seconds and counting, and that's going to be the final play. The Patriots have the last word till they meet again. Patriots win it over the Broncos, 43-21. Thanks so much, Kevin Collins. A lot of highlights for the Pats, of course, in every phase. Offense, defense, and special teams. Julian Edelman, again, worth repeating, breaking the record of that he had shared with Irving Fryer and Troy Brown. Four career punt returns for touchdowns, including that 84-yarder. Also had a touchdown catch for the Pats as Brady threw four TDs to four different receivers. And Tom Brady and the Patriots win their fifth in a row over the Denver Broncos, their fifth in a row in 2014, and of course it was over the Broncos by 22 points, 43-21, with that outstanding all-around effort. Tom Brady talked about Rob Gronkowski, from whom we just heard, and with Gronk coming off another sensational performance for the Patriots, now healthy and a force that has been really unstoppable these last few weeks in particular. Three touchdowns against the Chicago Bears, and then the TD, of course, versus the Denver Broncos. But Gronk doing so much for the Patriots in so many different ways, not only making plays himself, but creating opportunities for his teammates. And today in Tom Brady's press conference, he was asked about the luxury of having a guy like Rob Gronkowski and the impact that he's had on this Patriots team.
That was one of the best catches I've ever seen, so don't get any better than that. I wish they'd have given him a touchdown, then we came back on the next play, and it was a little bit easier than the next one, but that was unbelievable.
That was Tom Brady, in fact, after the game on Sunday, talking about Rob Gronkowski. But today, with a little more time to reflect on Gronk's performance, and as well to form his thoughts at the podium, Tom Brady expounded on those initial thoughts in the wake of the Broncos' victory Sunday.
He's a big part of what we do and a big part of our pass game.
He's a factor, I think, in all those situations that we talk about, whether that's third down, red area, you know, those real critical down and distances. I think he's, you know, a major factor. So I said after the game, he's got great physical ability, and I think he understands the game so much more now than he has in the past. And he's just tough to stop. So if they put extra guys to stop him, then it really gives other guys opportunity. You know, maybe more opportunity than they wouldn't typically get. So, you know, I think when Gronk does well, it really benefits all the other pass catchers too. So, you know, he's just a great player.
Third down and 10 now for the Patriots inside the 30 of Denver. Short motion from Julian, and Brady takes the shotgun snap. Stands in the pocket, steps to his left, throws to the near side, catch made by a tumbling Gronkowski. Brady able to hang in there, and he fires to Gronk, and a first down catch at the Denver 17.
Imagine trying to cover that, and I think, you know, we did a lot of work in training camp with, you know, Darrell was covering him, and Gronk was trying to do some rehabilitation, stuff like that, and, you know, he just gets great body position, and I think that's a big part of it, because he's such a big guy, it's hard to go through him. You know, he's 6'7", 260 pounds. So if he can get himself in the right position and get the defender where he wants him in the right place on the route, the defender can't do anything about it. And I think, you know, they know that too. So I think then they panic. You know, and then when they panic, it's even more of an advantage to the offense. It's like, you know, sometimes when you get a bigger receiver on the perimeter and a smaller DB's matched up on him, the mindset of the DB might even change because they think, oh, my God, this guy's so much bigger and taller and stronger and what am I going to do? And then, you know, they're already beat sometimes before the ball snapped. So, you know, that's a good mindset, you know, for an offensive player when he can, when he's making those plays and the defenders are now all of a sudden defensive before the ball's even snapped. Not only are they a physical disadvantage, they become a mental disadvantage that, you know, and the confidence in their ability to make a play, you know, that plays into it too. So, I mean, I know that offensively, sometimes you look out at a corner and you don't throw out there because, you know, you're not as confident that you know maybe there's another place to go. So that corner is doing a good job out there, even though the ball may not go his direction. He's still putting doubt in other people's minds. Well, that's a quarterback. I'm sure it's like that at all positions. Even a great pass rusher, you know, those tackles, they understand who they're going against, and they know that this guy may have a great speed move, a great speed of power move. So, you know, that's how that stuff can really, you know, why great players like that continue to have such an advantage because they threaten their opposing matchup really on every play. So even if it doesn't turn out that way and the ball's not thrown in that direction, you know, they still may, you know, it still has an impact on them throughout the course of the game.
Vereen in the backfield, play fake to Shane. Tom pumps. He throws down the middle for Gronkowski. Somehow makes the catch, bringing it in with his left hand. An acrobatic play and a catch to the Denver 1, just shy of the goal line.
Are you kidding me?
What an amazing catch by Gronkowski with Ward in coverage for Denver.
It's the play of the year.
Oh, my.
It is the play of the year. Freak show. Give that guy a protein bar. My God, I've seen it all now by this guy.
I think, you know, when you've spent as much time as we have practicing together and you talk about corrections, adjustments, you know, usually when you correct something, hopefully you don't have to correct it again. And I think that's the important part for every player is, you know, you just can't keep making the same mistakes over and over again. At some point, you got to move forward and kind of put that one in the, say, okay, well, I've learned from that. I'm not going to let that happen again. And you try to make less and less mistakes. I mean, you still make the really good plays. But the best players are the ones that are most dependable and consistent. And I think as you become a veteran player, you need to continue to make the really good plays without making bad plays. Because everyone's capable of making really good plays in the NFL. Everyone is talented enough. But if you don't have that level of consistency or dependability, then, you know, you can never, in football, if you go 2 yards forward, 2 yards back, 2 yards, you know, you don't ever end up going anywhere. So ultimately, you got to do enough good things for a sustained period of time in order to, you know, achieve your goal, whether that's a first down, whether that's a great season, whether that's a great career. You got to keep, you know, going forward.
It's first and goal to go. Devlin, the fullback for Gray, the tailback. Heavy set on the right side. Brady's going to drop back. He's going to throw for Gronk. He's got a touchdown now as the Patriots expand their lead.
Well, Tom Brady talking about Rob Gronkowski's importance to the Patriots and Gronk's development as well, and there have been a few steps back for Gronkowski when it comes to performance when healthy. Of course, the setbacks in his career have been relative to the injuries or related to injuries, and Gronk this season coming off the torn ACL late last year against the Cleveland Browns in the wake of the forearm and back issues, having a sensational season thus far for the Patriots, all things considered, and really poised in this second half to continue what has been a torrid pace of late. Gronk with his 8 touchdowns on the verge of reaching double figures in TDs once more, and for Rob Gronkowski, when you talk about scoring as a tight end, his 50 touchdowns, the mark that he has established since 2010 in the span of the 5 seasons, again, also take into account that he's missed large chunks of the last couple of years. Rob Gronkowski, from 2010 to the present day, with 50 touchdowns receiving as a Patriots tight end, equaling the total of Ben Coates from 1991 through 1999 for the record for his position, again, TDs by a Patriot tight end. Meanwhile, most career touchdowns by a Patriots player, period, and Gronk has one rushing score in his career, but most career touchdowns by a Patriots player overall, Stanley Morgan with 68, Rob Gronkowski now with 51. So the tight end for the Patriots, again, was the fastest player to the 40 TDs, becoming a player that's among the fastest to 50 TDs, got his 50th touchdown reception in his 59th career regular season game to tie Randy Moss for the second fastest in NFL history. Only Lance Allworth, a Hall of Fame receiver with 54 games, needed to reach his 50th career touchdown reception, doing it sooner than Rob Gronkowski after the inception of his career. And, of course, Tom Brady throwing all but one of those touchdown passes to Gronk. Gronk had a TD catch this year from Jimmy Garoppolo in Kansas City. But Brady continuing to add to his long list of milestones, an endless list it seems, and, of course, is still very much in the works, coming off his 62nd career 300-yard performance that ties him with Brett Favre for fourth all-time in NFL history. Tom with his 155th win in the regular season in his 200 regular season starts. He's won over 170 games overall, so the winningest quarterback of the Super Bowl era. Tom Brady as well, becoming the 8th quarterback to start 200 games or more, and in the process move past Hall of Famer John Elway, with Elway in the house, into 5th place among the career passing yardage leaders. Tom now with 51,541 yards passing, moving past Elway into 5th place. Drew Brees ahead of Brady at 53,605. And Brees and Brady as well among the top touchdown passers of all time in NFL history. And Tom Brady with 4 touchdowns against the Broncos, now with a 4th consecutive game in which he has thrown 3 TDs or more. It's the 3rd time in the last 4 games that he's had 4 touchdowns. He struck for 4 against Buffalo, had 3 TDs against the Jets, 5 touchdowns passing against the Chicago Bears. In fact, 5 incomplete passes, 5 touchdown passes for Tom Brady in that performance, and then the 4 touchdowns passing against the Denver Broncos. And keep in mind that as well, he had a couple of would-be touchdowns that were dropped in the end zone, or at least could not be caught. One of them overturned after replay review, and the other in and out of the hands of a diving Brandon LaFell. So the amazing career of Tom Brady continues, and as it does, of course, he hits this bye week like the rest of his teammates, so many of them so much younger than Tom Brady. And he was asked by Tom E. Curran of Comcast Sportsnet New England today about his accessibility and the importance of it as a veteran leader on this team, being one of the all-time greats, and perhaps being in a locker room filled with some who may look at him with some sense of awe, some like Jimmy Garoppolo, for example, his backup, who might have grown up idolizing Tom Brady as a professional football player. And Tom discussed the importance of being a good teammate, and as well what leadership means to him, during today's press conference, as prompted by Tommy Curran.
You know, I think for me, I've always feel like I'm the same guy. You know, I feel like I'm still the kid from, you know, Portola Drive. And I think that's, I know probably from outside in, it's different. But from the inside out, it's the same. And I think I've part of playing this game, a big part of playing this game is the relationships that you have with your teammates. And that's ultimately, you know, along, you know, winning is great. You know, I think the seeing like all those guys come back that I played with, you know, Roman Pfeiffer and Tom Ashworth and, you know, Willie and Ty and Richard and all those guys have been such an important part of my life. I think that's the guys now are an important part of my life because we all make sacrifices for one another. We see each other at, you know, our most vulnerable moments. And, you know, you when you lay it on the line like that, you develop a really special bond with those guys. So now that's nothing that I think about. It's just probably part of who I am, and it's probably why I love the game so much. It's why it's a really natural thing. It's not like I ever have to force those things. So hopefully I chose the right occupation for that.
Brady in the gun, takes the snap. Tom drops back, pocket holds, throws to Gronk across the middle, breaks a tackle across the 30, left sideline 20. Gronkowski takes the spill at the Bengals 16-yard line.
Oh, and then he throws
and
the ball.
And what a fitting way for Tom Brady to reach 50,000 yards passing in his career with a strike to Rob Gronkowski and a first down for New England.
I think the common thing that we all have in common is, you know, playing for this team and trying to do everything we can to help this team win. That's what we're here for. So, you know, I think it's, you know, all those guys that I play with, hopefully they just, like I said, after the game, I just want to earn their trust and respect. That's what I try to do. And I do that through going out there and trying to do it every day. And, you know, that's what I expect of them too. And when I don't feel like they're doing it, I let them know. And now that's part of what veteran leadership is too, is, you know, making sure we're all, you know, accountable. That's what Willie McGinnis did for me when I was young. That's what Rodney did. That's what Teddy Bruschi did, called me aside and said, look, this is what we're looking for. And I think that's, you know, that's how you can hopefully build and sustain, and, you know, it's led to, you know, a lot of wins.
Ridley to the quarterback's left from the gun, trips to the right. Tom takes the shoulder high snap, pressured from his right, runs up the middle, runs across the 10, angles left, and hits the deck with a slide inside the 8.
And look at Brady pop up. You tell me this doesn't mean anything to him? That he's become complacent 15 years into it? And I'm telling you, that's leadership right there.
Indeed it is. Scott Zolak, of course, the former Patriot backup to Drew Bledsoe, among others, and then Tom Brady, the guy that Zoe and I watch on a weekly basis for the Patriots Radio Network, broadcasting on our flagship in Boston, 98.5 The Sports Hub, and as well the rest of our Patriot Radio Network affiliates. It is a privilege in this profession, anytime you have the opportunity to see great players, let alone all-time greats, as we did last weekend, seeing Tom Brady square off with Peyton Manning. And in the 16th game in which they have shared the same field, Tom Brady's team, the New England Patriots, again prevailed. So the Pats are 7-2, and again, they're in the bye week now before they take on the Indianapolis Colts a week from this Sunday night. Meanwhile, in the NFL, an interesting week ahead, because you've got Arizona at 7-1 with the best record in the league, and the Cardinals out of the NFC West, a division that certainly looked like the strongest division in the NFL coming into the season, as the home of the defending Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks, and of course the San Francisco 49ers, who played in the Super Bowl 2 years ago and got to the NFC Championship as well in the last 3 years, bookending losses to the New York Giants and as well the aforementioned Seahawks around their NFC Conference Championship 2 seasons ago. Those teams haven't played as well, haven't won as much as many would expect. The Seahawks are 5-3, coming off a close win most recently. The 49ers, meanwhile, 4-4 after being beaten by the St. Louis Rams, a team that has played well the last couple of weeks. Their defense certainly is imposing at 3-5. But the Arizona Cardinals are 7-1 under second-year head coach Bruce Arians, coming off the 28-17 victory at Dallas, dropping the Cowboys to 6-3 with back-to-back losses. This season marks the first time that the Cardinals have had the best record in the NFL outright in November or later since 1966, when they started 7-1-1. Again, the Cardinals right now setting the pace in the NFL overall at 7-1. And don't forget the Super Bowl, again, for what it's worth, this stage of the season, a long way to go in the regular campaign and far from the postseason, unless the Super Bowl is at the home of the Cardinals, as we know, Glendale, Arizona. Meanwhile, this weekend, some of the games I think of particular interest. You've got the matchup. It's actually a Thursday night game and will not unfold over the weekend, but the matchup of the Browns at 5-3 and the Bengals at 5-2-1 coming up on Thursday night football. Of course, Brian Hoyer, the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, coming off the win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last week, and the Browns playing against the Bengals with a game that really has a meaning, associated to it in terms of conference ramifications or conference standings with the North Division suddenly very, very competitive. All four teams in the North above 500. Cincinnati's at 5-2-1. Pittsburgh at 6-3. And the Cleveland Browns are 5-3, looking for a third straight win, while the Baltimore Ravens actually on a slide. They've lost their last two and have fallen to 5-4. So the Cleveland Browns, at our first-year head coach Mike Pettine, take on the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals, of course, got off to the great start 3-0 before they played the Patriots. New England with a rout of Cincinnati. The Bengals have been up and down a bit since, had the tie as well, were shut out by Indianapolis. More recently, beat Baltimore for the second time this season. So who knows what the Browns are going to encounter in Cincinnati on Thursday night. But nonetheless, I think it's great to see for a franchise like the Cleveland Browns with such great football fans, of course, having endured some years, especially since the franchise restarted following the move to Baltimore. But nonetheless, good to see some November implications in a divisional race for Cleveland playing against Cincinnati. And Brian Hoyer, of course, will continue as the quarterback of the Browns, the former Patriot from the Cleveland area. Brian Hoyer, in fact, if all goes as planned, will play the game against Cincinnati on Thursday night, and then he'll gear up for a start against another Tom Brady backup of one time, Ryan Mallett, who's been named the starting quarterback for the Texans coming out of their break this weekend. The Texans on a bye, playing the Browns a week from Sunday, and Ryan Mallett has been named the starter by head coach Bill O'Brien to replace Ryan Fitzpatrick. And in the AFC South, you've got Indy at 6-3, the Texans at 4-5. They've had a couple of close losses, including their most recent defeat to the Philadelphia Eagles, with Mark Sanchez coming in for an injured Nick Foles. And quite a story that could become, with the Eagles now atop the NFC East division standings. But let's go back to the AFC for a moment. Again, in the East, Patriots, Bills, Dolphins, New England 7-2, Buffalo at 5-3, Miami at 5-3, though with the win over the Patriots. The New York Jets, meanwhile, 1-8 with the 8 consecutive losses. This is a division that, especially in local circles, gets hit hard a lot. A lot of criticism usually directed at the AFC East. One local columnist dubs it the tomato can division, but we should note that the top three teams in the AFC East through the first 9 weeks of 2014 out of division are a combined 13-5. Maybe not as weak as the division is reputed to be. Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Baltimore is noted, all above 500 in the AFC North. Indianapolis atop the South, the only team there with a 500 or better record. Meanwhile, in the West, you've got three of the four teams above 500. So the NFC was thought to have the better conference coming into this season, but again, the AFC certainly with more teams on the winning side of things. And in the NFC East, you've got Philadelphia at 6-2 and Dallas going overseas to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars, with or without Tony Romo. He's made the trip, but still his health in question for that game. Eagles without Nick Foles going forward for a while. And again, Mark Sanchez, the QB, with the Eagles at 6-2 and the Cowboys at 6-3. And then you've got the Lions and the Packers atop the NFC North. And those are two of the teams that await the Patriots in the next 4 weeks. New Orleans atop the South at 4-4. The Saints have won their last two, but, well, that division really has been the worst in the NFL overall. Carolina has lost three straight. Atlanta has lost five straight. Tampa Bay has lost four in a row with just one win overall. And then the NFC West again, with Arizona at 7-1, Seattle 5-3, San Francisco at 4-4, and St. Louis at 3-5. And as we look ahead to the off week for the Patriots, games that strike me of those holding the most interest and certainly the most relevance to the Pats, Kansas City at Buffalo this Sunday, 1 o'clock start. The Chiefs playing really well of late. The Bills, of course, a team only a game behind the Patriots, although New England won at Buffalo. Miami's at Detroit on Sunday. The Lions could get Calvin Johnson back for that game. That's a tough test for the Dolphins. They're playing well of late. Miami has reeled off three straight victories, including the shutout of San Diego, but nonetheless a tough game coming up at Detroit at Ford Field. Pittsburgh's at the Jets. Doesn't look like the Jets are going to stop their skid anytime soon. The New York Jets in a whole heap of trouble hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers, the way Ben Roethlisberger has played of late, 6 touchdowns the last couple of weeks. Late games on Sunday, again, of particular interest, really Chicago-Green Bay, even though the Bears are a team disappointing. Anytime you get the Bears and the Packers together, and especially at Lambeau Field, especially in November, and especially under the lights, should make for good television, if nothing else. But Hopefully, the family will allow for time for yours truly to watch some of those games and as well the Monday night affair between Carolina and Philadelphia. We hope you enjoy your break from the Patriots' schedule this weekend as well, with the Pats again in their bye week. And then we resume the conversation looking ahead to the Indianapolis Colts a week from today as the Pats resume play with their 7-2 record coming out of the bye in Week 10, going to Indianapolis to start that string of three road games in a four-week span. So until we talk about the Colts, the Pats next Wednesday. For my producer, Kevin Collins, this is Bob Soucy. Thanks so much for downloading and logging on and tuning in, whatever it may be, to the Bob Soucy Show here on Patriots.com Radio. So long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Bob Soucy Show, exclusively on Patriots.com Radio.
Sets up with a throw to the right side, catch made by Edelman, turns to the end zone, and he runs it past the five. He dives to the end zone! Touchdown! And the lead! For the Patriots!
Bob will be back next Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. with the latest news and reaction from this week's game, as well as a preview of the Patriots' next opponent.
Hand off Ridley, runs it right. Ridley dives to the goal line. He's in again. Touchdown, Patriots!
Log on to Patriots.com anytime to find the latest Bob Soucy Show podcasts, as well as the very latest news and information on your favorite team.
Shotgun snap to Manning. Play fake, a throw to the near side. Ball picked off by Logan Ryan. Diving break on the ball.
He's got it.
As he stepped in front of Eric Decker.
He's got it.
Patriots take over.
This place is berserk.
We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of the Bob Soucy Show.